105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautifully sunny summer's day. We've got myself, Martin White, in the studio, and my fabulous co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, we are the Kent BizConnect, or the BizConnect radio show, and what are we here to do? What are we all about? This is only our second show in the studio, isn't it?
So. I know, and I really love it here as well.
Oh, I do.
We're about giving news about what goes on in business. We have two great guests every fortnight as well, talking a bit about the work they do, where they are, and also just really generally getting all the businesses locally in the area to sort of engage with one another.
Fantastic. I think that sums it up nicely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And today's show is a little bit different in that we've gone with a very much a sort of a green theme to today's show,
yes.
A sustainability theme. So we've got a fabulous show sponsor in the form of Green Business Hub, which is a brand new platform that ultimately is there to promote and connect businesses in that green space and consumers ultimately to do business. Mm. So that's a sort of a central reference point for anybody interested in doing business on a greener, more sustainable level.
Yeah.
So they're our show sponsor today. We've got the fabulous Rob Robinson, who is the Sustainable Business Programs Manager at Kent County Council. He's going to be talking about some of the grant funding that's out there.
Yeah, definitely. Listen to that. Yeah.
To help businesses. And then we've got Roland Kinch, who is the CEO of Custodian Data Centres, talking about, as a data centre, what being green means to them. And they've developed some cooling technology, for example. But
that's
interesting. Yeah, they've also had some grant funding from Rob and his team, for example, to help them become a greener business. So
an award-winning.
Award-winning data centre custodian, yeah. So it is an action-packed show. We've got lots to talk about, but what we like to do at the beginning is kind of kick off with some kind of more general business news,
yes.
Don't we? So tell me, what's kind of caught your eye?
The thing I really wanted to put out actually today is the government announced the Eat Out Help Out scheme. Now I've had a look on various websites, the government website as well as the FSB website, and if you are a business that actually serves food, like restaurants, etc., cafes and public houses, hotel, restaurants, dining rooms within members clubs, workplace and school canteens. Mind you, the academy has closed for the summer, but you need to register your business to ensure that you are part and parcel of this scheme. So I would urge all of you businesses that sell food to have a look at the FSB website, follow the links and register your business so you can actually participate in this. Absolutely brilliant. I really like this idea. You're going to obviously need to keep certain records whilst you're on the scheme, and the scheme starts in August, and you need to register your business now.
So this essentially enables people like you and I, regular punters, to go to our local eatery, whatever that is, order, for example, a main course to the value of £20 perhaps, and get £10 of that back?
Yeah,
is that right?
I mean, it's valid all day, every Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, between the 3rd and the 31st of August.
Right.
The business can offer up to a 50% discount, up to the maximum of £10 per person, inclusive of VAT, so remember that, for food and non-alcoholic drinks to eat in or drink in.
Right.
You can claim this money back from the government. There's no limit on how many times customers can use this scheme. So if you've got a really good favourite restaurant and you want to go in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then you can do. But it does exclude any alcohol and service charges. You have to, as a business, you have to register. It is open now for registration, and it will close on the 30th 31st of August.
So we don't have to register as consumers. We can just walk in, and presumably businesses will stick a poster up that says, you know, they're part of the scheme. And we can just walk in and we can get £10 off our... Up to £10 off our meal.
Yeah, which is and that business can claim that right back from the government. So anybody
and that's per person.
Yep, and anybody out there that has your favourite restaurant or pub that you can eat in, it has to be eaten in the premises. Then just give them the heads up and ask them if they've actually registered for the Eat Out Help Out scheme.
Brilliant. Now, you mentioned an FSB website there. The FSB, the Federation of Small Businesses, have got a fabulous resource that they've set up specifically for COVID-19 help. Do you have the URL to hand?
Just fsb.org.uk. And if you put in Eat Out Help Out Scheme, you can get to the page there. It's been up for a week or so, but please do have a look. And make sure... Make sure that your favourite eatery has been registered.
Brilliant. Tracy, I think what we'll do now is, now that we've whetted everybody's appetite...
I feel hungry now.
We'll play a little bit of music and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the other news items that have kind of come across, we've come across over the last week or so.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
I think what we'd like to do now, we're just following on from Tracy talking about the Eat Out initiative that the government's recently announced. You may have caught in the news also last week the Chancellor's summer statement, which was kind of themed around a plan for jobs, which is obviously something that's incredibly important at the moment as we all kind of look to kind of get the economy back up and running. And, following on from what Tracy was saying and the theme of today's show, I mean, you know, people are probably aware of the fact that we've got this zero net carbon target by 2050 in the UK. And everybody was kind of looking towards what the Chancellor was going to say in the in the summer statement last week about how, you know, we're going to create a green recovery. And I think, Tracy, people out there are going to be interested in this £3 billion of grant funding that's coming down the pipe to help us all make our homes more energy efficient. So I think it's about 20% of all CO2 emissions come from domestic heating in the UK. So, you know, that's a pretty big number. A fifth of all CO2 greenhouse gas emissions come from domestic heating. So what the government have said basically is they've created a £2 billion green homes grant that's going to kick in from September, I believe. Which will help all of us to, you know, to insulate our lofts, our walls, for example, floor insulation, double glazing, all those kind of typical home improvement things that are going to add up to make quite a difference. There's going to be some grant funding for that, which should be kind of music to everybody's ears, really. And I think the way it's going to work is for every £2, for every £1 that we spend as consumers in terms of improving our homes and making them more energy efficient, the government's going to put £2 in. So, you know, they're going to pick up 66% of the bill and we're going to have to pick up a third of the bill. And I think they'll fund that up to a maximum of £5,000 as well.
That's right, isn't it? It's something to do with you get vouchers. Isn't that right?
So that's incredibly exciting. So and obviously it all ties in with you know, with the autumn obviously as well. So and I think also importantly, you know, they've recognized that that's going to be a sector you know, that's going to really help to kind of safeguard jobs and employment as well. So they're trying to kind of tie in a very kind of green initiative with, you know, a plan for jobs as well, as they called it.
Tied in a lot of different things at the moment, haven't they? And their scheme for apprenticeships, obviously the younger generation that's like leaving college, leaving school, about how to get them up and running in work. I think that's a really good positive thing, and it's also good and positive for SMEs to utilize that kind of training on the job scheme, because that's going to give a lot of empowerment to the younger generation that's coming through from education into work now. So there's a lot of different things coming along. It'll be interesting to see how it's facilitated and how it works over the next few months. But, you know, I do still believe that a lot more people out there are really trying to help their smaller local family-run businesses, as opposed to the larger ones that we usually use on a full-time basis. And it's really nice to see, actually. And I've spoken to a lot of people recently about have their consumer reaction changed. Are they buying things differently? And a lot of them are actually buying more from fruit and vegetables, from butchers, from bakers, you know, and they're finding that it's not as expensive as, you know, they thought it would be. You know, and there's a lot of family businesses out there that, you know, have been struggling. And one business that really caught my eye yesterday is that where I live in Sittingbourne, we have a travelling circus always starts their summer tour from Sittingbourne. They ran their circus shows, and then unfortunately we had lockdown. So these poor guys have been sitting in this field on the A2 near Bapchild ever since. But obviously they're a travelling circus. They make their revenue by entertaining families and children and the like. But obviously they haven't been able to do this. And what's been really lovely for me is to see that the people and residents of Sittingbourne and the surrounding area have really tried to help them out with things like food parcels. There's a GoFundMe page as well. And if these guys weren't going through enough, one of the heads of the family at Santa Circus had been struck down while he was riding a bike and has been in hospital for a month. So they've had to go through quite a lot. And, you know, but I know for a fact that these guys are resilient. They're going to bounce back. They've got the full support of the local community, and we're, you know, trying to help them out at this moment in time. And that's what I've, you know, really have enjoyed seeing, is people putting a bit of extra passion and not being so selfish and being more, you know, giving. And I've really liked that.
Yeah. And I think all of that, that kind of more more local focus.
Yes.
You know, is going to be, it's all good for the green recovery, isn't it, in this country? Because, you know, there's less food miles, for example.
Exactly.
You know, and you can kind of, you can track the kind of the provenance of your food. You know, where did it actually come from? And, you know, farmers markets, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think is all going to see a massive kind of upsurge in demand.
So, yes. And I'm sure that that like Folkestone, Dover, Deal, all areas in Kent are doing the same sort of things, and it's really nice to,
so
to hear about.
It's happening. Mm. Yeah, it is. It is going to be a green recovery, which is really exciting. Tracy, I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music, and then we're going to come in and talk to our first guest. That's Roland Kinch from Custodian Data Centres.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
So hopefully Roland is on the end of the phone. Roland, are you there?
Good morning. Good morning, I'm here.
Good morning. Fantastic. Lovely to have you with us, Roland, on this beautiful sunny day. Tracy mentioned, obviously, that you are the CEO of Custodian Data Centres. In your own words, can you just tell us a little bit about what Custodian do as a business and what your kind of main, your main operations are?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure most people don't bump into a data centre every day, but effectively a data centre is the place where the internet lives, I guess would be one way of summing it up. But effectively, we provide location services and network power cooling services for companies, businesses that have mission-critical data that they can't afford to lose, that they need to have access to day or night, in either live sense or recovery sense. And that takes many forms in terms of either physical, their own kit here, so what we would term co-location, or they rent virtual services from us, what people would then probably describe as cloud services. Our main base being at in Vince's Business Park in Maidstone, but we've also then got our own dark fibre network that reaches up in, into London and through London, throughout six other POPs, points of presence that is, other data centres that we rent space, rack space in, and we've got our own presence, and that gives us the ability to meet a massive array of network and services that arrive in London from all points on the globe. So that's what we do in a nutshell.
So what sort of businesses are we talking about here? Because presumably, you know, to warrant having an outsourced data center or my own data center, I need to be dealing with large volumes of data. Is that correct or not?
Probably not, actually. I think, you know, we offer services to, as I say, all manner of e-commerce clients. So I know that we've got customers that have got e-commerce shops that sell plastic toy soldiers, right up to massive high street names that you would have heard of. I think we've got the sixth biggest law firm in Europe here. So it's a huge array of businesses. And obviously we also do lots of B2B, so lots of managed service providers, IT companies live with us.
Right.
Because they've then got customer bases that they service from certain bits of kit that live with us. And obviously, you know, with the advent of the Azure cloud, the Amazon Web Services cloud, people interact with that a lot. So we have express routes directly into those services. So it can be a wide, wide array of businesses that turn over, you know, £50,000 up into billions of pounds.
Right. And it's the 24/7, I guess, availability of that data, that e-commerce platform, the security that sits behind all of that. That's what people are buying into, I guess, ultimately.
It is. It's exactly that, availability, security around it. So those services are always based on some sort of server. Servers produce almost 99% of the power they consume is turned into heat. So it's a very difficult thing to stable. And we're basically a big technical landlord and network provider, really.
Because I've got this vision of banks and banks, as you say, of kind of servers, all generating huge amounts of heat, all of which needs to be cooled and kept at a certain kind of operating temperature during the day. So am I right in thinking that traditionally you're quite kind of large consumers of energy and data centres?
Yeah, I think it's probably fairly widely known that data centres are a very big user of energy, because when you start stacking those, even though, you know, servers now over the last 5 years have become extremely efficient, but when you stack them that densely and they become extremely adept, the providers like HP, Dell, etc., cramming in more and more and more servers in one small box, they become extremely dense, very, very power consumptive per square meter, as it were. And as I say, it's pretty much, you know, if you've got a 1 kilowatt server, it pretty much produces 1 kilowatt of heat.
Right.
So they can get pretty warm.
So, you know, with that in mind, you've developed some technology called evaporative heating. Is that right?
Cooling, rather,
not heating. Yeah. So just tell us a little bit about that, Roland, in terms of how that works and how that kind of fits into to your kind of green ethos as a business.
Yeah, traditionally data centres were always, and you still find a lot of them, what would be termed as a closed loop. So you'd have a room that never saw, sight or felt any difference to external temperature. So if it was minus 20 outside on the depth of winter or plus 40 outside, it didn't know about it. From a server's point of view, wonderful, because it needs stability. However, when we first came in to the industry 11 years ago, it really didn't make sense to us. We understood the stability angle, but not use the location in the world where we live, where the Met Office reliably tell us that we spend 95% of the year under 21 degrees, sadly. And we're not the Amazon. We're not, you know, somewhere so that can't take advantage of, in this country, as heat increases outside, humidity, it's inverse, it drops. So our first iteration in our first halls was a fresh air system that's filtered to clean room standards, but then had a what's called a chilled back end. So for the 2-3 weeks a year, because sadly that's all we really see in terms of plus 30, we needed to chill it. We've got a chilled water system. And then probably 5 years ago, we migrated that when we were working with companies like Corel, using what is very old technology, really. It just takes advantage of the physics around the evaporative drop. So where you ask fluid, water, to change state into gas, and the only way it can do that is by using its own energy in terms of latent heat. So you give it the right conditions in terms of an evaporative chamber. You make it, you give it a mist form. So you ask the droplets to form in as small a state as possible, because again, you're getting close to then a gaseous state. But then to change that state, it will have to use its own latent heat. And as I say, we'll see things like a temperature differential when it changes state of up to 9 degrees, which is amazing when you think actually we've got chillers outside that struggle to achieve more than 6 or 7 degrees.
Yeah.
So much less consumptive of energy than a chiller, massively. Right.
And that's the key thing, really, from your point of view. It's about reducing your, in effect, your carbon footprint when it comes to, you know, the cooling and heating of your facility.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
We've got Roland Kinch with us, who is the CEO of Custodian Data Centres, based up at the old Maidstone TV studios. Roland, lovely to have you with us today.
Here.
What we'd like to do now, if we can, and we've understood some of the kind of the technical detail behind what a data center is and how you actually proactively manage the cooling of your data center and kind of minimize the kind of the energy consumption on that level. I'd like to try and get into some of the kind of the values, if you like, and the ethos that sits behind Custodian in terms of why you want to be green, and what that actually means to you and why that's important as a business. Can you just kind of enlighten us a little bit on that level?
Yeah, sure. I think probably starts on a personal level, really, that exactly that. Personally, I've always felt a sense of responsibility towards say climate, but generally, you know, lifestyles, fairly active around trying to be a responsible human being. I actually live on a farm, you know, care about the environment, care about the people and the animals that live around me. Yes, it does trot into the business. And when you actually start to ask people and you start to look at some of the numbers that are coming out of it, I mean, it so happens that Custodian is predominantly quite a young team. Maybe that's just because it is, you know, IT-based. It just so happens to be that way. And I'm not saying that it's just a younger generation thing, but they're certainly very aware here. So it's a subject that actually, once you start to get its head above the parapet, there's an awful lot of passionate people here that felt very similar to me. And again, you know, we got some big brains that work for us, and when you start to put technical propositions on the table, it becomes a really interesting subject as well to try and get around. I've always had a leaning towards design and build as opposed to just purchase and go with the crowd. So as I say, especially when numbers then start to get produced out the backside of it that makes sense.
Mm. You've also won some awards, haven't you?
Yeah, and I think probably to our surprise that when we put ourselves up quite early on in our evolution for as a new business, we needed to try and get some footprint and some recognition, and it's one of the routes to do it. And actually, we won a Green Data Centre Award alongside some massive competition. And having spoken to all three of the judges, they were impressed that we were actually doing it, not just talking about it, that we'd rolled this stuff out and that we were living and sleeping this technology.
Yeah.
And they were really impressed with that.
And obviously you do the carbon offset. And what's this about your planting scheme, forest land planting scheme that you've been doing as well? That's really interesting.
Well, we started down the route because obviously not only do we've got a bunch of customers. So, and as part of our understandable sort of audit trail, customers ask us what we do because they've equally got customers that are interested, some more than others, but how we go about things. And some of the climate summits have pulled and effectively name and shamed some of the data centres in terms of use. So yes, we initially started to sort of think into the carbon offset route, but I must admit it didn't take long for us to start to question some of that, not validity, but I think, it's all so easy just to sort of stick your hand up, write a check and say, I've done my part.
It's almost become a business in its own right, hasn't it, carbon offset?
Very much so. And it's a thorny subject. It's extremely deep and dense. And actually, for us, it was an engaging subject. And to go out and buy a piece of woodland wasn't particularly expensive, really. And we've started down the path of looking at planting and woodland management.
Yeah.
As a staff group, it's been really interesting as a learning curve internally.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I say, it is a very deep subject, and just turning around saying we've planted a bunch of trees equally has, some pluses and some minuses, some fors and against.
Yeah.
But what it does is gets everybody around a table and starts talking about that subject. Mm-hmm. It opens the book to understanding, exactly how a spent hydrocarbon can weigh more than, because, I had some, budding physicists in the room saying that just doesn't add up. How can that start out of a weight of this much and then end up weighing three times as much? And all of that starts to then get unravelled and put on the table. It's a really engaging subject for a bunch of bright people that want to talk about it. So overall, it's been a really, the start of an interesting journey.
Mm. Well, yeah, your green journey, really, isn't it? So what have you got planned next for your green journey with you and your team and Custodian?
I think we're going to continue with the our own bit of woodland project and continue to engage with, because we've met an awful lot of people through that in business that want to know more, that have come up against exactly the same sort of issues. But for me, I think, again, back to that question of what can a data centre do to be green? So with the up-and-coming almost inevitability of things like brownouts, we're told by the grid to expect in the future some fairly regular outages, as they do in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That general lack of grid. For me, I've already started to engage with suppliers and technology around our own power production. So hydrogen, to me, is something that I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it all sounds like, it's really interesting to speak to you today with what you do, what your business does, etc. And I'm really interested and I really hope that the future for your little bit of land with all your planting, it's a really good thing, and I think a lot more people need to really engage on that kind of thing. And also, it's really good for your team building, as you say. It's something completely different, but it's still in line with your eco
I think the renewables thing as well, Roland, is really interesting, isn't it? You know, how easy is it for businesses to run their business using renewable sources of energy? You know, whether that be wind or solar, and, you know, will businesses moving forwards, you know, be installing wind turbines, for example, you know, on their premises to kind of tap into that as a direct energy source. So, we're really just at the kind of beginning of the journey in many ways, aren't we? I think
I agree. Yeah, we are. It's very, very much a start. You know, we need to engage in the subject because we're an ever densifying population, so it's something that we need to take seriously. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as a data center, we need to be here 24/7 with uninterrupted supply.
Yes.
So it's a very, very current subject for us.
Yeah. Well, look, Roland, it's been fabulous having you with us today, and to get an insight into, you know, how businesses like yours are going down the green road, as it were. And we look forward to having you back on the show again, perhaps in, you know, 6 to 6 months time, or 9 months time perhaps, when, you know, some of these other initiatives that you spoke about are kind of starting to come to fruition as well. But for now, it's been fascinating listening to you.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Tracy, I think it's time we got another guest on the show, don't you?
Oh, most definitely. We've got Rob Robinson.
And Rob is the Sustainable Business Programmes Manager at Kent County Council. Rob, are you there?
I'm indeed. Good afternoon, guys.
Lovely to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on today. Rob, you are the, as I just mentioned, you are the Sustainable Business Programmes Manager at KCC. That's a bit of a mouthful. What does that actually mean? What do you do?
What don't I do?
I know you're an incredibly busy man, but in the context of sustainable business programmes, what are we talking about here?
Well, it's a busy time at the moment at Kent County Council. So essentially what we do is, under the remit of the Kent Environment Strategy, we are delivering about 8 programmes and projects with the common theme, really, of sustainable business. So that is anything ranging from a grants programme called LOCASE, Low Carbon Across the Southeast. And that is delivering, we've done 1,100 grants across Kent, Essex, East Sussex, and the unitaries therein over the past 3.5 years.
So is this European money, Rob, that's kind of filtered into the system?
It is the last knockings of VRDF, European Regional Development Fund money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, money that we've paid in and we get out. So that's to help with business growth. Of the low carbon sector, and it's also to help people with projects that need a little bit of a nudge to be more economically viable. So these are energy efficiency and resource efficiency projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty successful what we've delivered, and also it's just really trying to help businesses make that next step.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of firms over the past however many years have always thought, oh, that'll be quite nice to do that, but maybe next year we haven't got the money to do it.
Yeah.
It's just really trying to reduce that barrier and incentivize businesses to make that next step.
Because we had Roland Kinch on from Custodian Data Centres just before you, and I know that's a business, for example, that you've helped out, I think, through the LOCASE programme?
Yes. So, yeah, Roland and the guys at Custodian, they're also based in Maidstone, which is obviously where we are, or mm-hmm. traditionally have been.
Mm.
At the moment, I'm in my spare room through the new ways of working that we're doing at the moment.
I won't ask you what you're wearing.
You can if you want to.
But Roland was talking about the importance of kind of just starting somewhere, and we were talking about the fact that they've acquired some land, and they're planting trees, and how it's kind of everybody within the business has kind of got on board with that, and it's been a real catalyst for actually getting them to think about you know, how can we become a greener business? And I guess that's what you're saying. If you can give...
Exactly, yeah. It's not about doing everything right straight away. Mm. It's about going right. It's not a very nice term, but, you know, low-hanging fruit. Do the things that are going to pay themselves back quicker. Mm. Do that first. Mm. But businesses have got, you know, corporate social responsibilities. They've got customers now that actually... a little bit more demanding about what a business does. Mm. Supply chain. If you want to work with larger businesses, you've really got to toe the line of what they need, because they've got their own targets that they need to work with. So if you're a business like Roland's at Custodian, we help them with a development of their project and their product.
The cooling system,
The evaporative cooling system, which is, you know, it's not a new technology, but it's a new way of using it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can help businesses like that develop products and services. And, you know, it isn't all about replacing old lighting. It is about, you know, new ways of doing things. And if there's a saving of resources, whether that's water or waste, rather than just energy, we can do that as well.
Mm. So Locase, what's been the sort of, you said it's been running for the last, did you say 3 or 5 years?
Well, it feels like about 10 years.
Right.
But, it's a continuation. It's a continuation of a project that was happening at Kent called Low Carbon Plus, and over in Essex, which is where I was working at the time, of Low Carbon Business, and this is an amalgamation of that. So what it really has been any business that's in the green or sort of low carbon goods and services sector. We've been helping business development. Funding there to help businesses, you know, develop the projects and products that they've got, and also helping create a little bit more demand in the wider sector by helping SMEs, so which is 94% or something of all of the businesses in Kent, helping them with money so they can, you know, they can actually invest in this kit, whether it's heating, lighting, cooling, insulation, glazing, you know, all sorts.
So there's
and
money.
It's the flexibility of it that has meant that we can get, you know, a lot of money out there that people maybe historically think European money is great, but there's no way of getting it.
Mm. And is there money on the table now? Is Locase actually sort of live now, as it were? Is it just an ongoing program, effectively?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. Without getting too political, we've been waiting for a follow-on program to be approved beyond the original program. But what we're working with at the moment is the second extension of the original program, and that is, I mean, that was approved in March, and that was £500,000.
Right.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. So that will be until the end of September. So hopefully, 1st of October, we'll be having our follow-on program approved and ready to go. And that will be, that will be much larger. You're looking at, £8 million worth of program, which is going to be about £3 million worth of grants.
And is that European money again, or is that having to now be substituted with...
That is still... ERDF money, and this will be the last of it.
Right.
Mm. So whether you're for or against it, whatever your political leanings are, you've got to use it while it's here.
Yeah.
And that's really, there will be some follow-on sort of legacy money, whether it's through, you know, sector support fund or otherwise. There's different sort of things going on behind the scenes. So, as to what the follow-on's going to be, but
So as a business,
the headline really is do it.
I was going to say, as a business, how do I do it? You know, what's the process I need to go through, Rob?
Well, it's pretty streamlined, to be honest. I mean, we don't get over 1,000 grants out the door by continually putting up barriers. So what we do is we just ask anyone to go to the Locase website and register. So it's just simply who you are as a business, not necessarily what you're looking to do, anything like that. Just as, you know, as a small business, you go to the website, which is locase.gov.uk or .co.uk, sorry, locase.co.uk. Register your business on there. We will pick that up, get in touch with you, have a chat about what your plans are, do sort of a needs assessment. So all pretty light touch, then help you with an application. So once you've got your quotes together, you know what you're looking to do, then we approve that, let you know how much money you would be getting back on the spend you'd be doing, then you go ahead and do the work.
Fabulous. And it's up to 40% of eligible spend that you're able to claim back in the form of a grant. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's a grant. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that people still sort of struggle with. Mm. It's not free money, but because you're having to spend 60%.
Sure.
So, yeah, if, for example, you're going to do £10,000 worth of work for let's just say, for the sake of an argument, replace a load of old metal halide bay lights, and you want to get some LEDs in there, you'd be saving $3,500 a year in energy. Nice standard project, and if that was to cost you $10,000, then you pay $10,000, we get you $4,000 back.
Right.
So it costs you $6,000, you get your money back in 18 months.
Fabulous. And you repay that grant within about 30 days. Is that correct? Once the project has spent the money.
That is it. If we've got your details, before you make the claim, we will set you up on our system, or if it's through Thurrock Council on their system, to be paid sort of priority. So that's generally within 2 weeks.
Mm. Brilliant.
Which is great for small businesses who have generally been the bottom of the list of being paid from any large corp companies. So, invoice factoring and all sorts isn't really an issue with us.
No. Fantastic. Rob, I think what we're going to do now, because there's a couple of other initiatives we want to talk about, I think we're going to take a break for some music, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about, because I know you've got a green vehicle initiative going, you've got an upcycling initiative going as well.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
We've got Rob Robinson with us at the moment, who is the Sustainable Business Programmes Manager at Kent County Council. Rob, lovely to have you with us today.
Thanks for the invite.
Before the break, we were talking about Locase, which is an incredibly impactful and important business grant funding programme that you guys are running at the moment. But I know there's a couple of other initiatives that you wanted to talk about today. One is called Kent Revs and the other one is Upcycle Your Way. So just tell us a little bit about Kent Revs. I'm intrigued. That sounds like some kind of motoring related programme.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It is indeed. So Kent Revs, Realising Electric Van Scheme. So I know electric vans don't necessarily rev, or you don't hear them, but the nature really of the project is we were offered the opportunity to bid for some Highways England funding, and was it back in the last year? So me and a couple within our team decided actually this is a really good opportunity to see if we can act as a bit of a catalyst to get more businesses involved in trying to get sort of smaller vans on the road rather than just the standard cars that are becoming more and more popular. So it was just looking at really seeing how best to do that. And the scheme itself is 50 vans. We're in the middle of procurement at the moment. And that's going to be an opportunity for any business or organisation within Kent or Medway to trial an electric van for up to 2 months for practically free. I mean, we're in the middle of again wranglings relating to insurance, but it's going to be very, very minimal if there is a contribution, and that really is going to be an opportunity really to try to debunk a lot of the myths really that electric vehicles really aren't going to be man enough for the job and aren't really going to be right. There are probably going to be plenty of ways that businesses can see how it would fit into their fleet and into their fleet options going forward, really.
Bit like try before you buy.
Exactly. Well, we did call it the try before you buy scheme, and we're like, oh, actually, we can't really do that.
Mm-hmm. So these are small sort of light commercial vehicles, or?
The sort of vans that you'd see, the sort of size of a Peugeot Partner or a Nissan MV200.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The ones we're getting originally are probably going to be the Peugeot Kangos sort of size.
Because, Tracy and I both know an IT service provider. You may know her as well, Jackie Offen at JJ
Systems.
We know
Jackie very well,
yeah.
Yes.
And she's sort of gradually...
We helped with a grant, you would have thought.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, I know she's moving across to electric vehicles as a business as well. And very much like, you know, Roland, it's kind of... It is this whole idea of small steps, isn't it? One step at a time. It's not about being, you know, morphing into a green business overnight. It's what can we do as a business to actually, you know, operate more sustainably or on a greener footing?
Yeah, it's an adaptation sort of element, and we're not going to enact total change overnight. But for Jackie, for example, they wanted to get some solar panels on their roofs because they knew they had a lot of energy spend on servers.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of rationalising on that as well, and realised actually, if we were to get some of the guys going around in a Zoe rather than you know, the sander vans, that generally they don't need, a lot of businesses don't need a bigger van as you expect you do.
Yeah. And it's a lot of local mileage as well. Yeah.
It's not saying that, you know, we're going to get all of the diesels off the road straight away, but there are ways of adopting, you know, these sorts of vehicles into fleets as we go forward. And really, this first procurement is going to be chiefly or solely for small vans.
Mm-hmm.
It might well be that actually towards the back end of next year there's a lot more models coming out, slightly larger vans.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And some MPVs as well, so, you know, sort of minibuses and things like that. So it's just seeing how we can basically help the transition, really. And that's what it's really about. It's just about giving the, not necessarily the sector a bunk up, but just trying to get the awareness out there that actually there are good ways of doing things. And, you know, it isn't all about doing it because you have to do it. Sometimes it's a really good opportunity to do that.
Go on, Tracy.
Sorry, I was going to just say, you know, if a business who's listening to this is thinking, I'd like to have this 2-month trial, see how I get on, do they just contact you direct, go through your website?
Yeah.
And have a chat with you guys?
It's going to link into what I say about upcycle your waste as well, or into power or any of the other projects that we're interested in, you guys are interested in, or businesses will be interested in. Low Carbon Kent is our site. On there, it's got lists of all the things that we're up to and all the things we're doing. Generally, the best contact would be just to email lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk, one word, lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk. And that really would be sort of expressing your interest in that scheme. And that we'll take it from there. I mean, there is going to be a little bit of a fleet review that's undertaken, but purely just to sense check, you know, whether it's going to be right for a business or an organisation to trial.
But presumably this could be...
Just get that booked in.
Mm. I mean, you know, this could be relevant for, I don't know, electricians, for plumbers, for example,
Definitely. I mean, I was speaking today to the trading standards guys as well that work with businesses across Kent. And, yeah, it can be for a lot of the smaller trades as well. You know, florists and bakers and stuff that might be doing...
Regular deliveries and things like that. Fantastic. That's a great scheme. So tell us how that links with Upcycle Your Waste then. What tell us about that
well, link. I mean, yeah, it links because it's another project that we're running. But, you know, the whole ethos really of what Low Carbon the Low Carbon Kent sort of business network is about really is just seeing how many different ways that you can impact your business and help the environment and help your sort of community at the same time. So Upcycle Your Waste is an Interreg funding project. I won't bore you with what the difference is with the RDF. It's essentially a partnership of organisations and partners across Europe, looking at the common theme of how best to reduce the amount of waste that is being thrown away where it could quite easily be used, whether that's as a raw material for another business or part of something else that could form that. So, you know, when we talk about the waste hierarchy, well, I'm sure people have done, you want to try to reduce, reuse, recycle. But before you actually worry about that, you want to think, well, is there a way of adapting the way that we're doing things at the moment? Are we throwing things away that we could use within our own business?
Right.
And if not, who else could potentially use it? So, you know, if we go back in time and talk about, you know, the swap shop, It's a wants and needs situation. You're talking
Noel Edmonds swap shop.
Rubbish. I'm 40 something.
I'm with you. I'm sure lots of our listeners aren't, but I'm there. Yeah. The Saturday morning swap shop. No, it's a great idea. So how does that work in practice? I mean, how do you bring these businesses together that have got, you know, what would traditionally have been a waste product to then put them in touch with another business that actually needs that waste product as part of their production process, for example? How does that work?
It's what we're going to try to get going on a local level. At the moment, it's early stages of the project, and what we will do, same as I said with the Kent Revs, anyone that's interested, they need to get in touch with us. We'll have a quick chat with them about potential opportunities or barriers or reasons why they maybe can't do anything at the moment. And quite often, it's, well, we'd like to do this, but it's just us. And actually, I have 3 or 4 bags of sawdust a month. I don't really know what we could do with it. But if you combine that with others on the same industrial estate or in the same sort of area or in the same part of Kent, it's the economies of scale and the viability. We don't want to do things just because, oh, this is great. But if what we're doing is getting more vans on the road, picking things up and taking them somewhere else, you know, we've got to factor in the overall efficiency of what solutions we come up with. But what we're going to end up with is a number of pilot projects across Kent where you've got you know, each industrial estate or each business park or whatever, you've got 3 or 4 or 5 businesses on it that they're actually, we can work together.
I really like the sound of that.
It might well be that they can work together with joint procurement and, become an eco-cluster, that sort of thing.
Well, and I like that kind of local idea angle to it as well. You know, we're all on, you know, you've got, I don't know, 100 businesses on a you know, an industrial estate, and, you know, getting those guys kind of collaborating and working together on that level, I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's just getting their head above the parapet and looking around and going, actually, we haven't really thought about that they could potentially use this. You know, someone's got a load of pallets.
I had some face masks delivered last week from a well-known online retailer, and they came in the most enormous cardboard box. And, you know, I've had to stamp on this cardboard box and try and fit it into my little red, you know, paper.
Was it still smiling after you stamped on it?
But I then had to try and squeeze it into my red recycling bag that, you know, the paper waste gets taken away in. And I'm thinking, crikey, if I was a business getting through or with a requirement for a lot of kind of cardboard packaging, for example, you know, I could just give that to someone and they could repurpose it, couldn't they? To send their product out.
You know, keep cutting in, Martin.
There's
legislation in place and there's packaging reduction regulations and all sorts. But essentially, if there's a way of a business, and this is just, you know, speaking as a small business, if there's ways that you can work with your suppliers who can take back what they can because they can reuse that, great. That's ideal. If it turns out that actually, you know, they can't, and they're still sending you loads of things that you can't do anything with, then that's what we want to really look at, because, you know, polystyrene lasts forever. Can't really do too much with it, but there are some businesses that potentially can. And if it is that you've got lots of cardboard boxes that aren't in very good condition, you can't keep reusing, then, you know, there's an opportunity that if you already use other packaging materials, you could get a shredder and make your own packaging material out of the surplus boxes that you have. That's potentially an option used within your business. But we're also looking at plenty of other options of businesses that can fix or repair anything that's sort of damaged.
It is a fascinating subject. I mean, once you start sort of getting into it, but I think, you know, from your point of view, the key thing is, you know, put your hand up, you know, come onto the Low Carbon Kent website, get in touch with us, let us know you're out there looking to do something, and then we can kind of work with you. That's the key thing. So
it's all about collaboration, and that's the same with any of it. You know, we've got offshore wind supply chain stuff, and it's really about getting businesses to work together.
It's getting them to know you're there.
Yeah,
brilliant. You used to be brilliant at it, and then you know, it's not about everyone's a potential opposition, you know, competitor.
No.
There are actually some really good opportunities to collaborate on some of these projects and make them go further, basically.
Rob, we've got to end it there. We've run out of time, but just give us a quick reminder of the easiest way to get in touch with you, whether it's to talk about Lowcase or Kent Revs or Upcycle Your Waste. What's the best way to get in touch?
The best way for all of it is, if your listeners were to email a message to lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk,
mm-hmm.
then we will get back to them in the best way we can.
Brilliant. Or have a look at the Low Carbon Kent website. All the information
is on
there,
Low Carbon Kent website.
Well.
Yeah, you'll see there's a load of stuff going on there.
Brilliant. Rob, it's been great to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rob.
We'll definitely be inviting you on again to update us on the progress of some of these programs. But it's great to know it's out there, and it's great to know that we're all kind of starting to think about, you know, moving to a more sustainable and kind of greener future as well. So thanks again for coming on.
Not a problem. Just to say as well, obviously, that this is the business facing part of it. There's a lot of other stuff happening on a local level, community wise as well. So go to the kent.gov.uk sort of website and have a look at what's going on where you are.
KCC website,
because there are opportunities for businesses to volunteer and do other work locally. Help everyone look after their local environment, really, because it's ours.
Rob, that is fantastic. Thank you so much for now.
Not a problem.
And we'll catch up with you again in the near future.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Cheers.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in today, everybody. We've had an action-packed show, haven't we, Tracy?
Oh, we have, yes, definitely.
We've covered an awful lot of ground today, so hopefully that's given you some food for thought, whether you're a business out there that's perhaps looking for some grant funding to, you know, help your business be more green.
And going out, eat to help.
Going out for dinner, obviously. There's some some fabulous meal vouchers on offer there from the government. There's this and also, you know, if you're thinking about perhaps some home improvement work to your property over the next couple of months, maybe you want to just delay that perhaps until September, when we're a lot clearer in terms of how this government voucher scheme is going to work in terms of, you know, loft insulation, wall insulation, for example, double glazing. Because I think, you know, there's obviously the devil is always in the detail there.
Yeah.
But there's some really exciting stuff coming up and out there. So, hopefully that's going to be relevant to our listeners, Tracy.
Most definitely. And we're going to be back on the 3rd. August.
3rd of August. Christ.
Dear me.
Summer's
time
flying,
is flying by, isn't it? Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, so we'll be back then at 1 o'clock. But for now, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.